Thanksgiving. And I must say, you say, why do men love Thanksgiving so much? They usually don't have to cook. In fact, I never cook. I thank God for that. No, I do. I cook. I cook sometime for myself. Nobody else will eat. But, yeah, Bobby, I do. I can eat my own cooking. Amen and amen. You know, two different people can look at the same glass, let's say chocolate milk. And let's say the chocolate milk is poured into the glass to the halfway point. One person says, that glass is half empty. Another person looks at it and says, my glass is half full. Well, you know, let's look at what the psalmist says about this. Take your Bible and look at Psalm 23, verse 5. And the last part of that verse is my text for tonight. Four words is my text for tonight, but not the title of the message, but it is my text. And here it is. The psalmist, writing under divine inspiration, says, my cup runneth over. My cup runneth over. Now, I wonder, how about you tonight? Can you say that that's my testimony? My cup runneth over. You know, at Thanksgiving, they used to have the horn of plenty. How many have seen a horn of plenty? And it flows over with all the fruits and vegetables and blessings. And my cup runneth over. That is truly the testimony of the psalmist in Psalm 23, verse 5. And I can personally say that's my testimony at this Thanksgiving Eve and season. My cup runneth over. But some people say, you know, my cup is half empty, or my cup does not run over. Maybe it's full, but it doesn't run over. And I want to preach tonight on the key idea that makes the difference between the glass, your glass, being half empty and versus half full. Or your glass being full, let's say, but not running over. What makes the difference? What makes one person's cup run over? And the name of my message is, your thanksgiving makes the difference. Your thanksgiving makes the difference. And I want to say three things about that tonight. Because of the source of your thanksgiving, number one. And the psalmist also in Psalm 23 says these words, the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What a wonderful thing that is. If your circumstances tonight are the source of your thanksgiving, then you are often going to be disappointed and discouraged. I do not let my circumstances determine my joy. They're not the source of my joy. Now, my joy may be higher with regard to circumstances. The emotional level may be lifted up, but I'll have joy and I'll have blessing regardless of the external circumstances of my life. How about you? Sometimes your circumstances are not outwardly encouraging, and sometimes they are outwardly encouraging. Let me think about the Israelites, because 1 Corinthians 10 says we need to go to school on the Israelites. Remember, the Israelites were dancing for joy after the Red Sea opened up. They were so joyous and so excited. And wow, they were praising God. But you see, their circumstances were so often the source of their joy. In fact, the Bible says that the children of Israel, that they knew the mighty acts of God. But it said Moses knew God. There's a difference. Moses knew God. God was the source of Moses' joy. Because you remember, just before the Israelites were dancing and praising God, they were all complaining. They were all upset. They were all angry. They were all fearful. Why? Because they saw the Egyptians marching on them, and they saw the Red Sea before them. They saw no way of escape, and they blamed Moses, and they attacked Moses. Moses had not led them out there. Too many times I have seen people blame their spouse, blame their family, blame their church, blame the leadership, or blame this or blame that. And my friend, when you do that, you're blaspheming Almighty God. He's the source. He's the blessed controller of every circumstance. He's the God that has ordained whatsoever shall come to pass. There are no accidents with God. And so God should be the source of our thanksgiving and of our praise. He's the one that determines whether your cup is half full or half empty. He's the one that determines whether your cup runneth over like the psalmist, or whether or not it does that. And I want to say that the Israelites, they were dancing, but they were discouraged before that. And then right after that, they went out in the wilderness, and what happened? They were marching in the wilderness, and right away they got discouraged again. They started complaining again. Why? Because they were thirsty. Hey, if God delivered them through the Red Sea, don't you think he'll take care of their thirst? They should have reasoned that way. But no, they did not. God was not the source, you see. They saw his mighty acts, but they didn't get a hold of God. How about you tonight on this Thanksgiving Eve? Are you getting a hold of God? I'm so glad I don't look at church members as the source of my joy. I get joy out of you when you're doing right, but sometimes you're doing wrong. And I could really be down over that if I made you my source. No, it's God is the source of my joy. And so the psalmist had the Lord is my shepherd. God is not only God who created everything, but God is our personal shepherd. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. And there God was leading them, and they were thirsty, and they're blaming Moses again. They're blaspheming God. And Moses was like, God, what do I do? And they came to a big lake of water. Not salt water like the Red Sea, water. And man, they went down to drink that water. They said, praise God. And they went to drink it, and guess what? It was bitter, poisonous water. And they started going like, and Moses, what do I do, God? And God said, cut down a tree and throw that tree in that bitter water. And I'll make that bitter water sweet. And God made it sweet. And I can't help think of a tree called the old rugged cross and a Savior who hung on that tree. And he can make that bitter water of your life sweet when your heart is set upon him and his love for you and what he did. And thank God for that. But the children of Israel, they didn't get a hold of the fact that the Lord was the source of their joy. And let me say to you, the reason why your cup is half empty, the reason why your cup doesn't run over, I believe is because perhaps you're not putting God in his proper place in your life oftentimes. In fact, the Bible says this is characteristic of the world around you. The world around you does not put God in his proper place. Romans chapter 1, verse 21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Boy, this country has known God. The founding of this country, people knew God as the creator. I'm not saying everyone was saved necessarily, but they knew we had one creator, God, and our Declaration of Independence acknowledged that. And where has this country gone? Left God, taken him out of his proper place. And the universities of this country, and downstream from the universities, you see the culture. They have dethroned God and put a God of time and chance and evolution, which is simply the idolatry of the creation being the creator. Evolution is just a new form of idolatry. And what a foolish thing it is. Foolish hearts of these people are darkened. And you know what it says? Right after they took God out of his proper place, it says, neither were thankful. Romans 1:21. When God is not in his proper place in his life, no matter what you get, you're not going to be able to be truly thankful. And how sad that is. This Thanksgiving that people have the turkey, the pie, the football, the this and the that, but are they going to be able to feast on God's faithfulness? They've left the source of your Thanksgiving. And is your cup half empty or is it overflowing? I go to say to you, if you put God in his proper place and if you have the proper relationship to your shepherd, like the psalmist, you'll be able to say, my cup runneth over. And we see here in this psalm that very thing taking place and the focusing in on the source. You know, have you ever seen a kid at a birthday party? It's their birthday party. And the mother is trying to make sure this child has the perfect birthday. And she's worked hard with the birthday cakes. She's got the presents. She's got the party. She's got everything going on for this child. And how many of you ever seen a child just throwing a temper tantrum? Just being so bratty. Kind of reminds me of bridezillas at weddings sometime. Spoiled rotten. And you know what? That child needs not more things. That child needs to get to the source of where our thanksgiving comes from. It's only from God. And I think of Susanna Wesley. She brought up, I believe it was 18 children. And sometimes she would just have to get time to pray. She'd put a blanket over herself so she could pray and talk to God with 18 kids around her. But she had a rule. If the child would whine and nag and cry to get their way, oh, if that happened, she would give the child what they really needed, which was spanking. And she would say, no, you're not going to get something while you're whining and crying. Oh, what a sad thing it is when we see believers complaining and complaining and complaining. And if you're guilty tonight, there's an altar here. Get right with God. It shows that God doesn't have his proper place in your life. If you're not thankful, if you're complaining, and you're a circumstantial Christian. And how sad that is to see that. I have to bring you back tonight to our friend Job. Remember, Satan came up to God and he said, the reason why he loves you, the reason why he's so thankful is that he knows that you blessed him. You've built a hedge around him. I can't even get to him. I can't touch him. You've just spoiled him rotten. That's why he is so thankful to you. You take away those blessings in his life and he will curse you to your face. And, you know, God said, all right, Job, I'll let you take away his blessings. The only blessing you can't take away, I've been bragging on him to you. The only thing, you can't touch his body right now, but he let him do that later. But he said, I'll let you touch. And he took everything from Job, right down to his 10 children, every one of his children, all at one time. In one day, one after the other, after the other, after the other. Was he a circumstantial person? Where was the source of Job's thanksgiving? Here's his first response after it all happened. He said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Are you anywhere near that tonight? You see, I don't know. Right now, I'm saying my cup runneth over. I have blessings all up one side and down the other right now. But I have had times in my life where God took it away, took it all away, in one sense. Not as much as Job, but a lot. You know, I think about troubles and real hard times in my life, and I can name three of them in 46 years of pastoral ministry, three different times. And I think about a clock, not a digital clock like this, but the old-fashioned where you have the minute hand, you know, the second hand, and the hour hand moving across the face of the clock. And let the face of the clock represent your life and the years of your life. And it seems to me, as I look at my own life and others, that generally speaking, the Lord lets the hard times, the real great tribulation type times, not theologically speaking, but heavy tribulation, they move like the hour hand, very slow. They come into your life very seldom, but they come. But the mercies of God just flow and flow like the second hand, round and round and round in your life. But it's when that hour hand comes with that time of tribulation, and it finally will arrive. Either you're going through it now, or you have gone through it, or you will go through it. What's your response going to be? Job showed that he had focused on the source of his thanksgiving in how he responded. So on this Thanksgiving Eve, as we're getting ready for family and food and fun and all that goes with it, and taking time off from our work, and I know you enjoy all of those things, but are you focused on your unchanging shepherd or the changing circumstances of your life? And is your glass half empty then, or is it overflowing with blessings? I notice in this psalm, Psalm 23, my cup runneth over, that in Psalm 22, the psalmist looks back at the good shepherd. And what does the Bible say about the good shepherd? The Bible says the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And you know what? We can always look back to Calvary. Sometimes things are not going well for me, and I can say, well, does God love me? And does he love me? And you know what I have to do? I have to look back at Calvary. But I believe even we can look back before Calvary and see in the foreknowledge of God that he loved us. He loved us with his foreknowledge. And then we talk about his divine election and that love. And then we talk about the predestination. What's predestination? It's that he planned for everyone, listen to me, that became a believer, that you would not just go to heaven. You're not just going to heaven. You are going to be a son of God. You say, is every believer a son and adopted into God's family? Yes. That was God's predestined plan for every believer, that you would not only go to heaven, but you would be a son of God. Oh, what a privilege that is. And we can look back at God's blessings, and then we can look right now at the guiding shepherd. He leadeth me and guides us, and every day he's guiding us. And then we can look forward, and as I look forward, the future looks to me as bright as the promises of God. What do I see coming? I see the Lord Jesus coming back. I see his kingdom coming. I see his will being done on earth as it is in heaven. My friend, I look forward to reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ. I look forward to the future. And
amen.
Where are you tonight? This Thanksgiving. My, oh my, I believe too many Christians, your Thanksgiving makes the difference, and some of you are not really set on the source of your Thanksgiving. You've traded your first love. You've traded it in. You backslid, my friend. And you traded it in for what? For what? Does it satisfy you? Are you satisfied? Nah, that's not the way to go. Your thanksgiving makes the difference, not only because of the source of it, but number two, because of the supply of your thanksgiving. The Bible says, my cup runneth over. Ah, my friend, the Bible says this, the Lord daily loadeth us with blessings. Did you see the sunset? You see how God paints a new drawing and picture for his people every day and every night? Not just the people of God, because he's the Savior of all men, especially of the elect. He's preserving people in the world and painting beautiful picture. Many people don't notice it. They don't give him thanks. You get up in the morning and he paints another picture. I was out walking today and praying. What a beautiful day. You're nicely dressed. and sunny and no wind. And oh, daily he loads us with blessing. Do you give him thanks for every one of his mercy? Thank you, Bobby. I'm glad to hear that. I believe you do. Out of the mouths of babes. I'm thinking about Joseph now. When his brothers went down there in famine. They went down there to Egypt land. And they met this ruler that seemed austere and harsh, but finally he invited them to dinner, man, like Thanksgiving feast. They were so happy. And I think of Benjamin, one of the brothers, he gave them five times as many as the other brothers. You know, I feel like that. God makes us feel like an only child if we realize that daily, do you give him thanks for his common grace, his common blessings? He wants you to do it. And then how about the spiritual blessings in Christ? I remember going to Florida many years ago. I was a young man, about 19 years of age. I worked there in Florida for a summer. And I remember I was in an independent fundamental Baptist church. David Jordan was the pastor. He had gone to my college, and I liked that church. And I was there in that church, and I remember working, putting in underground water sprinkler systems, and I was going home, and David Jordan, just a Baptist preacher, not with a lot of money, but he gave me a nice wad of cash. And he put with that cash this verse, Romans 8:32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And you know what? If he gave his son for us, how shall he not give us everything else we may need? Don't doubt his love. Don't doubt his grace. He gave us his son freely. And how shall he not with him freely give us all things? And that's what he gave with that money that helped me to go back to college. But I got to thinking, you know what he gave me from David Jordan's church more than the money he gave me? The Bible says her price is far above rubies. He gave me a woman that is a prudent wife, far above rubies. And that is a gift that keeps on giving. And I thank God for my wife, Kathy Leeser Bloom, and all the many years of doing me good and not evil all the days of our life. Think of the love that God has shown already for you in his foreknowledge, in his election, in his purchasing salvation through Christ, in his predetermining that you who believe would be sons of God. And what a wonderful thing that is. And you know, the Bible says this in Philippians 4:19, when I think of God's supply for your thanksgiving, it says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now we know that verse refers to the Philippian church, and they were faithful with tithes and offerings. They were the church that was faithful in giving and receiving. And so they gave the tithe. We know that because they were obedient and Paul praised them. And we know that they gave offerings, certainly to the missionary work of Paul. He said, nobody else did it but you guys. And he said, because you are faithful in tithing and offering, he said, here's a promise for you. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You know what, though? The need that we have, according to the Bible, the bare minimum is food and clothes, food and raiment. Let's be content. But you know what I found out? He gives you a lot more than food and raiment, oftentimes. Doesn't have to, but he does, because it's according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And we should, my oh my, thank him for every blessing he gives to us, and he loves to pour out the blessings upon us, and we need to thank him for that, because he loves to give us blessings. And you know what? When I do that, I give the tithe, but I don't want to just stay at the tithe. I want to go beyond that. And you know what? When I think about his supply, he said, my God shall supply according to his riches and glory. And when I think about that, I want to give an offering. And I know some of you have given offerings to the bus ministry this year, and praise the Lord for it. Some of you have given offerings to get a minibus, and praise God for that. Some of you have given offerings by helping out Christian school kids, and praise God for that, and thank God for that. And you know, when I think of God and his generosity and his grace, I want to give an offering. And, you know, I saw the joyous chest. I think we had that joyous chest, but we still are, I don't know how much in the hole in the joyous fund. We're below water there, because that cost more than came in. But you know what? When I think about that, I thought tonight I'm going to bring a cash offering and put it in the Joash chest, or put it in the building fund. And it's good when you do that. God is delighted in that. And you can't outgive God. His supply is amazing. So your thanksgiving makes the difference whether your glass is half empty or half full, because of your focus on the source of your thanksgiving, because of the supply of your thanksgiving. And so the Bible says you shouldn't put your trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God that giveth us all things richly to enjoy. 1 Timothy 6:17. You know, some people have an attitude of God that God is just looking for you to enjoy something. And he's standing over you, and he's looking for you to enjoy it. And he goes, I'll take that away. And he looks for you to enjoy it. I'll take that away. No, that's not God. God loves to give good gifts to his children. It says here, he gives us all things, what? Richly to enjoy. How about you? Do you have godliness with contentment? If you do, every blessing he gives you, you're able to enjoy it. You're able to look at it as part of your riches that overflow into your life. Is your glass half empty tonight? Or is it my cup runneth over? Your thanksgiving is what makes the difference. God loves to give you good gifts. And if he is withholding something from you tonight, he is doing it because to give it to you would hurt you at this time. Do you believe that? I do. I do. I want to say one more thing. Your thanksgiving makes the difference because of the supplication of your thanksgiving. The Bible speaks about your prayer life and how thanksgiving is made different and is involved in your prayer life. Here's what it says. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Do you want to get more answers to prayer? Do you want to enjoy a prayer life where you can get things from God? I always enjoy people saying, hey, I'm getting things from God. He's answering my prayers. And you know what? I believe God wants you to get answers to prayer. In fact, Jesus said he will answer your prayers that your joy may be what? Full. Full. But you know what? Our prayers are hindered oftentimes by our lack of thanksgiving. It says by prayer and supplication. What's supplication? Supplication is going to God to get answers to prayer. Pleading with God, a greater person than you are, to meet the need and to answer the prayer. And what does it say? What will give you answer to prayer? Prayer and supplication. What? With thanksgiving. Oh my, Thanksgiving's not just a holiday. It's a way for you to get things from God. It's a way for you to get answers to prayer. And if you're not thanking God, not only will God not answer your prayers, but God will do for you maybe like he did to the Israelites. Remember, the Israelites were grumbling and griping and griping and groaning and grumbling. And you know what the Bible says God did? He sent poisonous snakes to bite them. Boy, that'd be something to have a snake come in your house and bite you. Poison snakes were biting them, and they were dying from poison snakes. And then they were sorry, and God sent a brass serpent to heal them. My, oh my, do you want to get more things from your Heavenly Father during this Thanksgiving and Christmas season? Well, then thank him for all that he's done for you over this past year. I'll read your praises tonight. I'll read your thanksgivings. And I know many of you are doing that. But don't mix it with grumbling and complaining and don't be a gumbler. Don't be a gumbler. How do you like that? Gumbler. Be a thankful person. Thankful person. You know, when you're visiting somebody, they like it when you're thankful. And you tell them specifically why you're thankful. And I'm thankful for many of you and the things that you've done. I am thankful. And I'm thankful for the fruit that you're going to have. Because you're not serving me, you're serving the Lord. And he's going to reward you. And I'm thankful for the fruit. Because I know that the blessings of the Lord are out of this world. I just want to end up with this. I can't still get over this last election. What a wonderful, wonderful provision. And I'm praying and asking God, but I see the hand of God, and I am so thankful. And I'm looking forward to going to the inauguration. I'm looking forward to going back under better circumstances. My, oh my, has he not been good to you? He has been. It's your thanksgiving, my friend, that makes the difference between a half cup and an overflowing cup, because of the source of it, because of the supply of it, and because of the supplication with thanksgiving of it. Let's bow for prayer tonight, every head bowed and every eye closed. Perhaps tonight is